A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Dave, when I say the word socialism, what kind of emotion wells up inside you?
A little bit of a cringe. A lot of a cringe.
We're going to learn more about it in just a moment. Because votes are in Buffalo, New York, and this is becoming a big part of the story in the mayor's race there. And we've got India Walton. India B. Walton is set to defeat Byron Brown in the Democratic primary. He's seeking a fifth term. Here's part of her speech.
India, 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 India.
Okay, that was the cheers from her speech.
The entire intent of this campaign is to draw down power and resources to the ground level and to the hands of the people. And when we think about socialism, you know, we're perfectly fine with socialism for the rich. We will bail out Wall Street and banks and give $1 billion in tax incentives to one of the richest people in the world to build an empty Tesla factory in South Buffalo. And when it comes to providing the resources that working families need to thrive, socialism becomes scary at that point. So I'm very proud to be a Democratic socialist.
Now, I'm going to go with her on some of that. I 100% agree that the bailouts that we see completely wrong, right? And that it's hard to justify the corporate bailouts and then say, whoa, but on the employee level, on the grassroots level, that's where we draw the line.
Let's get Ben Burgess on the line. Ben, for clarification, are you a member of the Socialist Party?
Not a member of the Socialist Party. I'm a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, which is one of the organizations that endorsed Walton.
So when I asked my co-host just moments ago, when you say the word socialism, and I said, what emotion wells up? And he says, I kind of cringe. Why do you think that is the emotion that a lot of people I know or talk to feel when we say the word socialism?
I mean, I think that one reason might be that they associate socialism with, you know, authoritarian regimes in the 20th century that called themselves socialist. Of course, a lot of them called themselves democratic, too. But certainly if in terms of what democratic socialists like India Walton are advocating, I mean, what they want, that for everybody to have health care and education, things like that as universal rights that you get just for being a person, not something that you should have to buy in a marketplace, even more radical long-term goals like expanding the number of worker cooperatives so you don't have to work for a boss or fewer people do. I don't know. These things make me do whatever the opposite of cringing is.
Well, I think there's a difference between some socialist programs, you know, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, but socialism, you know, as a whole, it's the taking the means of, you know, production of goods and distribution, all that, and turning it and having it regulated by the community as a whole. So are you saying there's a difference between the socialist programs and socialism in general?
Well, I guess I'd make two distinctions. One of them is what the actual mayor of Buffalo could do, for better or for worse, depending on your perspective. The mayor of Buffalo can't, seize the means of production. They can do things like having better protections for tenants, make it harder for people to be evicted. They can do things not have the first call in mental health situations always be the armed police. And I think these would be very, very good things. But as far as the means of production go, and you know, more long-term goals go, I mean, I think the point that Walson made in that speech is well taken. That we, you know, we talk about sort of rugged individualism and, you know, letting the market, you know, play out however it wants. When it comes to poor people, you know, people at the top of society get all sorts of support for the state. We could have a state that had promoted different economic policies that, for example, promoted having a bigger sector of the economy that was where businesses were owned and democratically run by workers themselves. And that sounds like a good thing to me.
What is the priority on her platform, or at least speak to one or two of the priorities and put them in put this in context, Ben? So those of us who aren't familiar with this kind of platform, with this particular party's platform, can understand.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not a separate party. I mean, she's running the Democratic primary, but yeah, she is a socialist. She was supported by the Democratic Socialists of America. And in terms of things that can be done on the local level, you know, I mentioned a couple of the things that she was running on in terms of trying to have laws be more favorable to, you know, to renters, you know, harder, you know, you know, more protections for people facing eviction, in terms of having less militarized policing, to connect it to the other thing that I mentioned, I think you know, she has talked about. If you read like the interview that she did for Jackman magazine last month, she says that her vision for says the Buffalo that I envision is one free from militarized and hostile policing, one where there's ample and truly affordable housing, where there are opportunities for collective ownership and cooperative employment, where folks are working for organizations they have an ownership stake in. So, in other words, it's not like it's not like she would be in any position to stop this from being private businesses in Buffalo, you know, that are traditional private businesses, even if she wanted to. But I think that you know, trying to promote, to make it easier, to get more incentives to have, you know, worker cooperative businesses, there might be things that you could do for that on the local level. Certainly, you can try to have better social services and less aggressive, you know, policing and people like on the east side of Buffalo in poor neighborhoods. You know, since what we've gotten for the last several decades, really, not just in Buffalo, but everywhere, is a stintier welfare state, less support for ordinary people, and more carceral solutions to problems by poverty. And to the extent that it's possible, I think as mayor of this, you know, which is a small thing, but it's also the first time there's been a socialist who's been mayor of a major city since like 1960, I think, in Milwaukee. You know, it's a big deal, and there are some things that could be positive that could be done on that level.
Ben Burgess, thanks for joining us. He's a columnist for Jacobin Magazine, this conversation it is a surprise, Debbie. I mean, the Socialist Party, whether you call it the Democratic Socialist Party of whatever, right? However you want to term it, the ideology is so unique. And certainly has a history that where a lot of people have a sour taste. You think about socialist societies, China and Vietnam and Cuba. You can see why, you know, a lot of people would have that initial reaction of being cringy. But anyway, that was it's certainly monumental to have a big city like Buffalo elect a mayor that is an avowed socialist.
And this is not by a slim margin. 99% of in-person votes counted. What site am I on? Politico.com. She leads her opponent 52% to 45%. So,
I think it was a four-term mayor that she's beating.
Going for his fifth term. Buffalo, New York could soon have its first socialist mayor ever.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.